All right, we're holding the last few words of Kufrova Morales, last line. We started talking yesterday about the various people who get paid out of Tirmas Alishka, and then the last thing we talked about is that certain other people who are doing work for the Beis Hamikdash instead would be paid out of Bedik Habayis. We made a distinction between the different kinds of Koroichasin, the ones that are instead of where there should have been a wall, but for practical reasons they couldn't build one, versus ones that are meant to cover the gates as a matter of tznius. So, further on this topic of Tirmas Alishka versus Bedik Habayis, which again are two different types of expenses of the Beis Hamikdash. Tirmas Alishka is supposed to be meant for the operating expenses of the Beis Hamikdash to buy the stuff for Karbonos, etc. And then you have Bedik Habayis, which is supposed to be meant for capital improvements, as they call them in modern CEO speak, the actual physical plant of the Beis Hamikdash itself, renovations, etc. So, Bominator Hunamirab. Clay Shores, Maurashi, also Mikacha Bedik Habayis. When you need clay shores, you need, for example, you need basins for the blood of the Korbanos, knives for shefting, etc. These are all things that are used in connection with the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Now, the Mizbeach itself is built out of stones. It's actually the way it's described in Zvachim, the way that Amnon describes it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. It's actually kind of, you have a concrete core. You pour a sort of concrete-like mixture, and then you face it with stones on the outside.
You're not supposed to have stones on it.
No, you're supposed to. What do you mean? The mizbeach is supposed to be made out of stones. Mizbeach avonim tafli. But it's basically, it's made out of concrete, more or less, a mixture somewhat like concrete, because it needs to be very solid. It doesn't have to be a big, huge, solid thing. The base of the mizbeach was 32 by 32 amos, which is like 50 by 50 feet. And the whole thing, and it wasn't hollow. The whole thing was solid. You're talking a substantial structure there. Anyway, so there's no question that counts as part of Bedik Habayis. There's no question when the mizbeach has to be repaired, the funds for it come out of Bedik Habayis funds. The clay shoretz that are used in connection with the mizbeach, maushi also mikatcha Bedik Habayis. Can they also be? Can the money for them also be taken out of Bedik Habayis funds? Do we say tzarech mizbeach ninu? They're needed for the mizbeach, which is again part of the structure of the mizbeach. Therefore, mikatcha Bedik Habayis. Also, therefore, the kelim will come from mikatcha Bedik Habayis as well. Or tzarech korban ninu, or maybe we should say that these things, the basins and the knives and so forth, are necessary for the korbanos. Or mitzrumas alishka, how you write tonight, and then they should come out of mitzrumas alishka, out of operating expenses.
They have a kedusha.
Yeah, they have a kedusha.
They come from mitzrumas alishka.
Well, that was the question. The question basically was, if we have money from Bedik Habayis, that's what we're going to discuss now, if we have money from Bedik Habayis that's not needed right now, the building's in tip-top shape and we don't need anything else for it, can we divert some of that money for clay shorters, or do they have to come from Tirmas Alishka? So he tells them, no, they can only be made from Tirmas Alishka. They're not part of the actual structure, therefore they're not Bedik Habayis. He asks them a question. A pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, Uchachaloisam, when they finished, the pasuk describes over there how they, in the times of King Yehoyash, they raised money to renovate the Beis Hamikdash. It needed it. It was 150 years old by that time. Asalia, the queen who had been the previous ruler, the queen had been a reshas. She and her sons had done all kinds of things to the Beis Hamikdash and brought idols in there and in general broke down various things in it, so therefore it needed renovation. And the pasuk says, when they finished the renovations, they brought before the king and the Kohen Gadol Yehoyada the rest of the money. And they made it as kelim. They used that money for kelim for the house of Hashem, for clay shoretz. So you see that yes, money that's raised for Bedik Habayis can be used for clay shoretz. Amalei. So Rav answers him. You know what? Yes, you have that pasuk, but akriach ksuvi like akriach nevi. Whoever taught you ksuvim didn't also teach you nevi. Because you know what? That same story is told in Nevi'im. It's after the part of Shkolim, and there it says differently. Ach loye also beis Hashem sibrit zogemer. It says, however, they did not make in the house of Hashem silver basins and etc., various other kinds of kelim. Sibrit means basins. Because instead they would give it to the people who were doing the work. And the pasuk continues, that they would use it to repair and strengthen the building. So you see, it can't be used for klei sharis. Well, then the question becomes, then you have a stira between the pesukim. In Melachim, it says that they didn't use it for klei sharis. In Divrei Hayomim, it says they did. And answer is, one case, in Divrei Hayomim, it's talking about, in Melachim, it's talking about the earlier stage of things. They were collecting money for the Bedek HaBayis. They hadn't yet finished the Bedek HaBayis, therefore they can't divert any of that money for anything else. No Sipuris Kesef, etc. Everything has to go towards Bedek HaBayis. After, then comes the Pasuk of Divrei Hayomim. Afterwards, the Chaloisim, when they finished the repairs, and they found they have extra money, that they were able to use towards the Klei Sharis. So when we said to begin with that Klei Sharis, when Rav had said that you can only make them from Truma Salishka, you can make them from leftover money from Bedek HaBayis. Actually, we're going to discuss that in the next few lines. But not, you make them from Truma Salishka. You can't make them from Bedek HaBayis as long as there is actual Bedek HaBayis to be done. If there's leftover, maybe you can use it for that.
What's the difference?
So that's what we said. Truma Salishka is meant for the operating expenses of the Smithish. It's meant to be used to buy the korbanos and the other supplies that the Smithish needs, to pay the salaries of the various people that we discussed in the last couple of days. It was all collected. Well, everything's collected from the Master Shekel, yeah. Bedek HaBayis comes from a whole different source. Kontra Bedek HaBayis is when someone says, I want to donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. I want to donate money or goods to the Beis HaMikdash voluntarily. I want to give my erech or somebody else's erech. I have an animal that's a baal mum. I want to give it as a present to the Beis HaMikdash.
It's a donation.
Yeah. Goes to Bedek HaBayis. As opposed to Master Shekel is from the annual Master Shekel, the tax that everybody has to pay equally. Yeah. So the two different sources of money, and then two different kinds of things that are spent on. Truma Salishka, for the most part, because it's used to buy the actual korbanos. Okay. The question is, now, not necessarily. Meforshim say that actually that's not what Rav means. He doesn't necessarily mean to say we're going to explain soon that the Rav's shita that when we say over here. Or not necessarily we're going to say Tana Deveda Bishmal, but Rav may hold the same way also, that when we say that when the Pasuk mentions that they brought as Sha'ar HaKesef, doesn't actually necessarily mean the leftover money, as to say that you have Kod Shebedek HaBayis and then you have whatever's left over that can be used for Kalim and whatnot. Rather, we can say that the Sha'ar HaKesef itself refers to Truma Salishka. So when Rav said before, Ein Nasin Elam Truma Salishka, he means that no, not... You're thinking the pasuk means that they raised money for Bedek HaBayis out of people's donations, and when they have left, they use it for klei sharis. No, that's not what it means. As I want to say in a few lines, it means that they could only use Truma Salishka for this. How do we explain the pasuk? We'll get back to that in a few minutes. The Master Shekel, to use for klei sharis. How does that explain the pasuk? We'll get to it in a minute. But first, a side thing. According to the explanation that we're understanding right now, that we're saying, that we're talking about, that they collected for Bedek HaBayis, it was supposed to be used for renovations, and now they have left, and we're saying that now you can divert that to something else. So what? How does it help if just because they collected money and they had some left over, how does that allow us to divert it to another purpose? The answer is, because the mind of Beis Din makes a tnai on it to begin with when it's collected, that if it's needed for renovations and then beautifying and whatever the Beis Din, then we'll use it for that. And that if not, then it can be used for klei sharis. Beis Din, when people donate to the Beis Din to begin with, they're donating al daf Beis Din. So whatever Beis Din is like the board of directors of the Beis HaMikdash. So if they decide that money that's come in from donations for Bedek HaBayis is not needed right now for Bedek HaBayis, but there is a need for klei sharis, then they can divert it. They have the authority to do that. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, klei sharis boin Truma Salishka, same as Rav said before, that the klei sharis have to be made from Truma Salishka, not from Bedek HaBayis funds. Shenema es Sha'ar HaKesef. Because the pasuk says that they brought, now we said before, the rest of the money. And we assume that meant that there was Melachim and Divrei Hayomim are talking about two stages in the process. Melachim is describing what happened before they realize they have more, they have extra. And Divrei Hayomim is talking about what happened afterwards. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel is saying, and that's what we were saying, that Rav may also hold the same way, is saying that no, that's not what it means. Melochim versus Dibra Yomim, we're actually talking about two different kinds of money. Melochim is talking about money from Bedek Abayis. That could only be used for renovations to the Mikdash. No lay basin, machna lay, no nothing, no sipois kesef, no silver basins are made out of that. What's Dibra Yomim talking about when it says that they brought the Sha'ara kesef to the king and Yehoyada and they use it for Klei Sharet? It means, Ezeo kesef sheyesh leshirayim, what kind of money that's brought to the Beis HaMikdash has remainders? Because as we learned in Shkalim, they had this whole room full of the Machzor Shekel coins and they would fill up three big boxes with it, and whatever's left in the room over there is Shari Halishka, and then they'd use the money in the boxes for the operating expenses of this mikdash, and there might even be left in the boxes, and that's called Shari, that's called Moisa Truma or Shari Truma. So Bedek HaBayis money doesn't have Shirayim in the sense that there's no difference in halacha between the money that was collected to be used right now and the money that's collected to be used later. As opposed to in Machzor Shekel, there is that difference. What's collected right now in the boxes versus what remains in the room. So what kind of money has Shirayim that has a separate status? Hevi Yomim, the Terumah Talishka. So
that
means that what kind of money has Shirayim, the Terumah Talishka? So the word Sha'ara Kesef doesn't mean the rest of the money. It means the kind of money that has a remainder. So therefore, it's the actual Terumah Talishka itself. So Dibra Yomim is describing what did they do. They took the actual Terumah Talishka. Some of it they used to buy korbanos, etc., and some of it they used to buy clay shardis, which is what Tanya Rebbe Shmuel was saying. That's the fund out of which clay shardis come.
And also the Terumah Talishka. The authority of the Beis Din.
No, now we're saying we don't need the authority of Beis Din for it. The Machzor Shekel to begin with is given. The Terumah Talishka is supposed to be used for the regular operating expenses of the Beis Mikdash. That includes buying animals for korbanos. It includes buying ketores. It includes buying wine and flour and whatnot. And it also includes buying clay sharis. The question is, Em Shirayim Gufayu? Why? Maybe the pasuk Sha'ara Kesef means the Shirayim. Maybe if they fill up the three boxes, the 27 saw, whatever, they use all those to buy the korbanos and flour and oil and whatnot, and whatever's left in the chamber, but at the end of the year, which is called Shari Alishka, maybe that's what's supposed to be used for clay shari. The pasuk does say Sha'ara Kesef. The answer is no. Kid Amar Rava Ha Oila Oila Rishona. Just like we find Sochim, the pasuk says Tavatayin as one of Lamer, those Teras Ha Oila, Ki Ha Oila Amok Dalon Zayach, etc. And Rava explains what does Ha Oila mean? Oila Rishona. The He means the first Oila. We use that pasuk to teach us to teach us that no korban should be brought before the Tumah Shel Shachar. Why? Because ha'oila means the very first oila of the day.
Korban tani.
Yeah. Ha'chanami, ha'kesef, kesef rishon. The same thing when we say here, sha'ar ha'kesef, the hay means the original money that's actually being taken out and put in the boxes and being used for terumah sal, and being used for terumah salishka purposes. That money has a sha'ar because of what remains in the boxes that doesn't end up getting spent for the year. That's the kind of thing that you use. That's the kind of thing that you use for clay shardis. Mace, the Gemara says, have a contradiction to this whole idea. You're telling me that clay shardis come from Terumah Talishka, from the money that's placed in the boxes and used for operating expenses, but I have a braisa that says differently. Haktoras v'chol korbanos tzibur, boim the Terumah Talishka, the Haktoras and all the other korbanos tzibur are brought out of the Terumah Talishka. Why, by the way, why does the Gemara single out the Haktoras from among all the other korbanos? Two explanations that I've seen. One is because we say every day in davening in Pitim HaKtoras that they prepare 368 mana of Ketoras every year, or most years anyway, and then 365 of it would be used throughout the year. Now, a Jewish year begins Rosh Chodesh Nissan and ends Rosh Chodesh Nissan. A regular year that has only 12 months has less than 365 days. You have 11 days left. Usually, everything that's bought from Machzor Shekel is supposed to be used within that year. The fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash begins Rosh Chodesh Nissan, as we learned in Shkalim. You would think then maybe the Ketoras is different. Maybe it shouldn't be bought with Terumah Talishka since some of it is going to end up being used next year. No, that's what we're saying. That's the same as everything else. Then there's also an explanation that there's a vort from Revel Brisker who makes a distinction between the korbanos is the tzibur has a chiyuv to bring the korbanos for kapara. The Keturis, he says, is not so much a matter of kapara. It's just there's a mitzvah that Keturis has to be brought. So it's a different category of thing. Therefore, it has to be listed separately. Anyway, so those come from Terumas HaLishka. Next, Mizbeach HaZahav Levoinu Klei Sharis, the Mizbeach, the golden Mizbeach, which is portable, so it's not considered part of Bedek HaBayis, it's not considered part of the structure. Ulevoina, and the incense that's brought together with the Shnei Bezik Ulevoina, that's brought with the Lechem HaPanim every Shabbos. Or Klei Sharis, and all the Klei Sharis. Boin Mi Moiser Nesachim, all of those are brought out of Moiser Nesachim, out of the remainders of Nesachim. Now, what are the remainders of Nesachim? Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Menachas that there's two possibilities. Number one, the Beis HaMikdash, the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash would make up in advance with suppliers that you're going to be supplying us with flour or oil or what have you for the next year. Comes flour, for example. The deal was that we contracted with you that you're going to be supplying us with, 1,000 saw of flour, let's say. When they measure out the saw, when they measure out the measurement, they're supposed to deliver to the Beis HaMikdash a heaping measure, so that the flour is heaped over the top of the measure. You pour flour into a measuring cup, and eventually if you have a heap on top, right? When they actually use it for the korbanos, they don't. They flatten it out, because you have to use exactly a saw or exactly whatever any saw and whatever the particular amount is. So you have extra. That extra amount over the whole year adds up, and that's money. That's worth something. The Beis HaMikdash can sell it. The treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash can sell it and use the money for these things. That's one possibility what Moshe Nesachim is. The second possibility is we learned in Shkolim that also, the part of the idea when the Gizbarim would make up these deals with the suppliers ahead of time, they'd make up with them. For example, the current price of flour is you can buy 3 saw of it for a seller. So that's the price we're going to agree on. You're going to supply us with flour at that price for the next year. What happens if now the prices go down? Now you can buy 4 saw of flour for the seller. The supplier is required to deliver 4 saw now. The rule is yad hektish halo yayna. Hektish always has the advantage in these kinds of deals. Why? We learned in Shkolim for one thing, because usually with a regular person you don't do that. But hektish for one thing, nobody's going to say I'm not going to supply hektish because I'm losing out on the deal. It's a privilege to be able to supply hektish. Yeah. So this guy is supplying 4 saw. Hektish only needed 3. Therefore, they have an extra saw. Again, they can sell it and then use the proceeds. Those are the two possibilities of what Moisin Asachim is. Anyway, so far we see from this price that clay shards come from that, not from Terumas HaLishka. Next, Mizbeach HaOla, the outer Mizbeach, which is part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, HaLashachos VaHazoris, and the various chambers and courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash, when those need to be built or renovated, Boin Mikotche Bedek HaBayis, those all come from the money of Kotche Bedek HaBayis. And one more, chutz l'chomes ha'azara, anything that's outside the wall of the azara, so the harabayis or anything in the rest of Yerushalayim, boin mishyori halashachas. That can be done using the money that's left over in the lishka. Any money that's left over that wasn't put into the boxes and used during the year can be used afterwards for these kinds of things. Vizui shashaningu, and this is what it means when it says, the Mishnah in Shkolim says, chomes ha'ir migdileseha, the wall of Yerushalayim and the towers of Yerushalayim, b'chol tzarcheir, and anything else that the city needs, for example, water supply, etc., all those things, boin mishyori alishka, all those things come out of the leftover money in the lishka. Anyway, the point is, the middle of the braisa said that klei sharis come from Moshe Nesachim. What are you telling me, Tanit Veda Bishmal, that they come from Terumas HaLishka? And so it's Tanoi, it's actually Machlokas Tanoi. The Mishnah says in Shkolim, what would they do with the leftover of with the leftover of the truma, meaning what's left over in the boxes? Again, we have to distinguish between Moitza truma, which is what's left over in the boxes that wasn't spent, versus Shiori Alishka, which is what's left in the room that was never even put into the boxes. The Moitza truma Mahayoisinba, what would they do with it? The Mishnah says, Rikuizav, Sipu the Beis Kodesh HaKodeshim. They would use that to get plates of gold that would be used to plate the Kodesh HaKodashim. Then the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Moitz Peiros HaKayis HaMizbeach, what's left, the extra profit that the Beis HaMikdash has from Peiros, which we'll talk about soon what that means, would go for Kayis HaMizbeach. They would use that to buy animals for Korbanos when it's a slack season, when right now nobody's bringing Korbanos, but you don't want the Mizbeach to be just sitting there and the Kohenim sitting there with nothing to do, so they'd buy that. Moitz Truma, the Klei Sharis, and what's left of the Truma, meaning what's left in the boxes, would be used to buy Klei Sharis. Rabbi Akiva, Moisa Truma L'Kayit HaMizbeach. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Kayit HaMizbeach doesn't come out of Moisa Peres, like Rabbi Shmuel says, it comes out of Moisa Truma, what's left in the boxes. What you, Rabbi Shmuel, said goes for Klei Sharis, I say goes for Kayit HaMizbeach. Where do you get Klei Sharis? Moisa Nesachim, L'Klei Sharis. That's the Moisa Nesachim, the leftovers of the Nesachim. Either, again, the extra, the heaping amount, or the extra amount that the supplier had to supply, whatever, goes for Klei Sharis. So the last braisa that we quoted before is according to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Chanina, Sgana Koinim, Omer, Moisa Nesachim, L'Kayit HaMizbeach, the leftovers of Nesachim, the leftovers of Nesachim, what we just discussed, go for Kayit HaMizbeach. So what Rabbi Akiva had said goes for Klei Sharis, Rabbi Chanina, Sgana Koinim says goes for Kayit HaMizbeach. Moisa Truma, L'Klei Sharis, what's left over of the Truma, what's left over in the boxes, goes for Klei Sharis. That's like the first, that's like previously, like Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel, who said that Klei Sharis come from Truma, so far we have, so we have three different opinions. When we said before, Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel says that Klei Sharis come from Truma Salishka, fine, in this Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel wasn't talking about, so Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim are both saying that most of Truma goes for Klei Sharis. That goes with that. Moisa Truma is what was Truma Salishka. It was taken out of the Lishka and put into the boxes. It just didn't get spent this year.
So it goes
for Klei Sharis. And the Mishnah continues, V'zev v'zem lo'y ho'y mo'ydim a'peiris. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim did not agree with Rabbi Shmuel that there is such a thing as peiris that then there would be moisture of. Now what does that mean? Peiris ma'hi, what are we talking about as far as peiris? The Tanya. Moisa Truma Mayo Eisenba, what would they do with the leftover of the Truma, with leftover in the boxes? Loichin Peiris Bezoh, they would buy produce cheaply, or Moichin Eisen Biyoker, and then they would sell that at a markup. So they use it to buy the mission over there. This is a price of mission there. In the mission in Shkolim there puts it a little bit differently. They would buy yenis shmonim uslafis. They buy wine, flour, oil, and then they'd sell it to people. We learned in Shkolim there they had a whole system when people needed to buy nesachim that they'd buy them from the bismithers to make sure they were made betara. So according to this, they would use this moisa truma for that. They'd buy these supplies cheaply, sell them at a markup. The profits from it they would use for Kayit HaMizbeach. Kayit HaMizbeach is what we just said, kavanas for slack season. Kayit literally means dessert. So it's like when the Mizbeach is finished, when the Mizbeach, so to speak, is finished its regular meal of the day, and now there's nothing left for it to eat, then you give it like dessert, so to speak. So this is what it means when Rabbi Shmuel says Moisa Peres, the Kayit HaMizbeach. This is what he means by Moisa Peres. The profit that the Mizbeach gets from marking up and selling this wine and flour and oil. So what do we mean that Rabbi Shmuel that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koinim did not agree about the Peres? We learn in the Mishnah, Moisa Shiori Alishka Mayo Eisenbehen. What would they do with the remaining money in the Lishka? Oh, so this is slightly different, actually. The Braisa had been talking about Moisa Truma, that they would buy, they'd buy produce cheaply with it and sell it on a markup. Here we're talking about Moisa Shiori Lishka, what's left over after they had money left over in the room where the Master Shekels were. They spent whatever they needed to on the walls of the city and towers and in civic improvements and so forth, and they still have money left. So that's the mission says, Lois can ban Janus Shimon Muslosis, they would use it to buy wine and flour and oil, Vaschala Hektish, and then the profit would go to Hektish, they'd resell it to people who need it. Give Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, no, Ain Stakin Bishal Hektish. You're not allowed to make profits off Hektish. You can't invest Hektish money like that and use it and then do business with it, because it's called Ain Anius. Aplo Bishal Aniv, and also you can't do that with money of poor people, money that was collected for tzedakah. What's the reason? Bishal Hektish my time alloy. Why can't you use Hektish? Why can't you do business with it? Because Ain Anius, Makom Ashirus, because there's no poverty in a place of riches. The Eibishter ultimately owns everything in the world. Liya Kesef, Liya Zav, Nu Mashem Tzvokos, as we're going to say in this week's Pirkei Avos. It's not appropriate that in the place of the ultimate riches that you should be acting like, we're poor, we need to do business in order, we need to do business, we need to be buying and selling in order to raise money.
That's called Anius.
So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, don't do that. V'shalani in my time alloy, why can't you do that with money of poor people, money that was raised for tzedakah? Do them, it's Jamin Blaranya, because what's going to happen? You're going to invest the money, then an oni is going to come and need money, the lechadim lemeis v'lo, and there's no liquid cash to give him, because they're all tied up in investments. Yeah. So the maskana is...
Because it's not good.
Not good, right. So therefore, that's what we mean when we say Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanan Iskanakainim said there is no Moisa Peiris, there's no business, the Hekdesh has no business buying and selling Peiris in the first place. So there's no Moisa to talk about.
The others?
Rabbi Shmuel would hold that you can, and therefore he says, so now you have Moisa Peiris, you have profits from this, what are you going to do with them? So that's what he said before. That's what he said before, that the Moisa Peiris goes for Kayas and Mizbeach. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanan Iskanakainim, since there is no Moisa Peiris, they have to find the Kayas and Mizbeach from elsewhere. Now we finally get back to the main topic of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had started that you had the Shnei Dayan Gzeiris, that brought us into how they got paid out of the Truma Salishka, and that brought us into this whole digression over here with the digression in the middle about Sheichat. Now we're finally back to the first machloikas between Chanan and the Chachamim. We said in the Mishnah, the machlokes was, a person goes away to Medina Sayam, his wife is coming to Beis Din and demanding Mizoinus. We had a machlokes, everybody agrees that at the end, if we find out that her husband is dead, she's going to have to swear before she collects her ksuba to make sure that she didn't take anything, that she didn't get paid all or part of it beforehand. Does she have to swear at the beginning, before she collects Mizoinus? Chanan said no, and the B'nai Kohenim Golem said yes. So, Mishnah from Medina Sayam. So, Itmar, there was a discussion among the Chachamim as follows. Itmar, Rav Amar Poskin Mizonis Leishas Ish. Rav says that if you have somebody who went away to Medina Sayam and his wife needs Mizonis, then Beis Din will go and appoint somebody to go to his property and sell or do whatever they need to in order to raise money for the purpose. To set up a regular thing that she'll get that she'll have a regular supply of mizonis.
Before he leaves?
No, after he leaves, we're talking about. Well, Shmuel Amar Ein Poskin Mizonis Leishas Ish, where Shmuel says Beis Din doesn't do that. So Amar Shmuel, Moideli Abba B'Shleisha Chadashim Arashayim. First of all, Abba, which means Rav, will agree with me during the first 3 months after the guy leaves. That Beis Din doesn't get involved yet. They don't go and expropriate his property to give Mizonis to his wife. Because we can assume a person doesn't leave his house completely empty. During the first 3 months that he was away, we assume that he left enough stuff around the house, enough money, enough. But Derek Klau, I mean, if not, then we support him out of tzedakah, I guess. But we don't necessarily say that we're going to go and start selling off his property to raise money for her. So now it's as follows. If we heard that he died, meaning not when we say heard, we don't mean that there's absolute evidence of it, as you know, two agents came and said he's dead, then there's nothing to talk about. Then we're talking about there's rumors, agents come and say we heard from somebody else that he died, whatever, yeah. So Bishashama Boy Shemes, if they heard that he died, Kulamale Plivi, then everybody doesn't agree. There's no question that then Beis Din is responsible for setting up Mizonis for her. Why? Because the thing is like this. Rashi explains like this. Wait. The vote is like this. When Shmuel says to begin with, in poskin mizonis, why not? The reason is because what may have happened, we don't know for sure, but it may very well be that before the guy left, he set aside a bundle of money and gave it to her and said, here, you can use this. As long as I'm away, you'll use this to pay for food and stuff for yourself. So therefore, Shmuel says there is that likelihood. Or even if not, it might be that, for example, while he's away, he'll be sending money home regularly. So whatever. Therefore, Beis Din shouldn't be going selling off his stuff without authorization. So we're saying like this: if we have rumors that he died, then fine. Rashi says, look at it like this. Ultimately, she is going to be collecting her. If he really is dead, ultimately she's going to be collecting her ksuba. So then, in that case, we should be entitling her to take Mizonis now. Eventually, when she has to collect her ksuba, she's going to have to swear. Everybody agrees to that. Both Chanan and the B'nai Kohenim Golem agree she's going to have to swear before she collects her ksuba that she didn't take anything she wasn't supposed to. So then, at that point, we'll straighten things out. The other reason, so the Gemara is going to explain soon, the Gemara is going to explain in the next couple of lines, the two reasons why Shmuel says, there's one reason is the story apusa. The other reason why Shmuel might say to begin with, the ain't poskin, is because what if beforehand they had made an agreement the deal that we talk about in a few places in the Masechta, that he can tell her, you know what, you support yourself, you can keep your Ma'as Yadayim, and you can supply your own Mazonis. And if he did that, then obviously he's not Chayiv in Mazonis now. So because of those two considerations, then Beis Din shouldn't get involved. So now we're saying like this, if we heard a rumor, we heard like Adam came and said we heard hearsay that he died. So what are the possibilities here, Rashi says? Either if he's dead, then she's going to end up collecting Huxilba anyway, and at that point we'll straighten things out. The Tzimach, the Adayach, from Zenisayach, again, if he's dead, then there's no Ma'asi Adayach anyway. She's not Meshuvah to him anymore with Ma'asi Adayach. And the Yisomim don't have the right to make such a new deal with her. So therefore, based on that, the deal that the Tzimach, the Adayach, from Zenisayach, she has to agree to it. So therefore we should allow her to collect Mazonis. So then even Shmuel will agree that we should allow her to collect Mazonis.
In addition to...
No, she'll be collecting Mazonis now. We'll talk about later. She can collect up to the value of Huxilba. Yeah. And we'll get to that later, yeah. Tosfos discusses a little bit differently also that there's the matter of the machlokes rather would be if they didn't hear that he died before. As far as we know, he's still alive. Therefore, Rav opposed Gin Dama Shuvah. But the Rav says, okay, we need to set aside for her. After all, he has a shiur to her to give Mazonis. Or Shmuel Lama Ein Poskin, where Shmuel says we shouldn't, the Beis Din shouldn't get involved. My time, so what's the reason? The two reasons we just said. Rav Zvid Omer Emet Tzori Akasa, because it might be that he had given her a bundle of money from his Mazonis, and therefore we shouldn't be taking away more from him. Rav Papa Omer Chashin, Shamalama Latzi Ma'asi Adai from his Netzayach. And Rav Papa says, because he might have told her that, we'll keep separate bank accounts. You'll keep your Ma'asi Adai and you'll provide your own Mazonis. But two different parts of Maibenayu, what's the practical distinction? Ikibenayu, the difference would be Gdoilov Lysofka. What if she's an adult, where as an adult he could have given her a bag of money, but her Ma'asi Yadayim are not enough for her to live off of. For example, Rashi says there's a famine going on, prices are inflated, so therefore her regular Ma'asi Yadayim are not enough for her to live off of. So according to the Tzori Apasa reason, according to Rav Zvid, we would still say, we assume he gave her a bundle of money, that should be good enough for you. On the other hand, according to Rav Papa's reason, you can't say Tzvi Ma'asi Yadayim from Zenisayach, because her Ma'asi Yadayim are not enough. Inami Ketana Vesofka, or it could be the other way around. She's a Ketana, but she knows how to do very good work. So therefore, what she accomplishes, her Ma'asi Yadayim are enough for her to live off of. So the Tzori Apasa is not going to be a consideration, because as a Ketana, he won't have given her, a bag of money. But on the other hand, the Tzvi Ma'asi Yadayim from Zenisayach is a real possibility. If she's a Ketana, he won't have given her a bag of money, because you don't give a bag of money to a Ketana. But if it's the Tzvi Ma'asi Yadayim from Zenisayach, if she's a very energetic Ketana who knows how to do good work and is able to live all for Ma'asi Yadayim, then you have that. They might have made a deal, Tzvi Ma'asi Yadayim from Zenisayach, and therefore now when he's gone, when he's out of town, she shouldn't be claiming the Zonis. I was going to say, actually, going back to Tosfos a second, that Tosfos points out that it doesn't have to be necessarily that we're distinguishing between whether we heard that the guy died or not. Tosfos points out you could have the same kind of situation. Suppose we know he's alive, but for whatever reason he's unable to return. For example, the case that we had at the end of Yevamos, for example, where the ferry is not there and therefore he can't get across the river. It's an unusual situation that he should be delayed for that long or whatever. Such things could exist. So, Tznam, let's consider, what does our Mishnah say? Misha halacha medinas hayam, we said in the Mishnah, if somebody goes away from medinas hayam, v'ishtek hadas mezonis, his wife is claiming mezonis, chanan omer tishavah v'sefer l'tishavah v'skadah, chanan says she only has to swear at the end, when she collects her ksuba, not at the beginning, when she wants mezonis, nechuk wala b'nei konim golem, and the b'nei konim golem argued with him, v'amer tishavah v'tchilu v'sef, that she should swear both at the beginning, before collecting mezonis, and at the end, when she's going to collect her ksuba. So, Av Kamlai Pligi, Elul Inyan Shavua. So we see in the Mishnah, Chanan and the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim are only arguing about whether she has to swear in order to collect Mazonis. Av Mazoni, Yavin in love, but there's no question, according to Chanan without swearing, and according to Bnei Kohanim Gedolim with swearing, we will give her Mazonis. According to Shmuel, why? Shouldn't there be the concern that Tzlori Apasa or that Simatia Dachem Mazonis Ayich? The answer is, Tirgum HaShmuel, but Shoshama B'Shemesh. The Shmuel says, because the Mishnah is talking about the case where we did hear that he died.
And therefore,
that's what he said. Shmuel would agree that if we heard that he died, then there's no question we have to give her Mazonis. So then the only question is, do we have to make her swear first that she hasn't? When we talk in the Mishnah about her swearing, the swearing is that she hasn't collected her ksuba up until this point. If she collected her ksuba, she's not entitled to Mazonis. Okay, so Shmuel could say that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. You're right, if we hadn't heard that he died, then Shmuel would say that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Then in that case, she might not be able to collect Mazonis for the two reasons that Rav Zvid and Rav Papa are offering. Toshma, a Braisa says, somebody went away overseas and his wife is claiming Mazonis. B'nei Kohanim Gedolim Omer Tishava. So the B'nei Kohanim Gedolim say that she has to swear before she collects. Chanan Omer Lo Tishava. Chanan says she doesn't have to swear. And the bride continues, being Baba Omer Pasakhi La Mazonis, if the husband comes back and says, I did set aside Mazonis for her, I did do the tzori, I did give her a bag of money that she can use for her expenses, Ne'eman, then we believe him. Rashi says we do make him swear. We make him swear that he gave her that sarari, and then we'll have her reimburse whatever she had based in sell or transact or whatever on her behalf.
No,
you don't need, no, you do a shavu, yeah. Fourth point. So here you have another factor. You're saying that he came back. Presumably, that means he was never dead in the first place, otherwise he couldn't come back. So the answer is still, so Shmuel could say that we're talking about that we heard that he died. We say if he comes. And the answer is, fine, there was you say that he had died. Based on that basis, went and arranged for his wife to get Mazonis. Then he turns up alive. And so then if he swears that he gave her tzori, that he gave her a bundle of money, then we'll make her reimburse it. Yeah. Still no proof that the Braisa would be talking about a case where we never heard that he died in the first place. Toshma, Misha Holoch Medinas Yam the Ishta Tevas Mazonis. Another Braisa said that if a person went away to Medinas Yam and his wife is claiming Mazonis, the Imbab Omat Simasi Adaifim Mazonis Sayyid. So if he had said, if he had come and said that the Tzimas Yadakim Zenisayich, that's it. Well, so there's different explanations among the Farshim whether we mean that no he can't mean that now he comes back and says it means that he's coming and saying that originally before I ever left we made the Tzimas Yadakim Zenisayich separate bank account deal. Yeah.
What does it mean?
Means that instead of the normal situation that I'm going to support you and return your earnings go to me, you can keep your earnings and you'll support yourself.
So that's what you can
do that. Well,
put her the money.
Yeah, she can keep her own earnings, but she's not entitled to Mazonis then. She's not entitled to support from him. Yeah. So if he had come and said that you should keep your Maisi Adayich and you'll supply your own Mazonis, Rashoi, then he's allowed to do that. Kodmu based in Upasku, however, if based in went ahead without knowing of that and set up Mazonis for her, Masha Pasku, then whatever they set up is considered binding.
And not reversible.
Not necessarily not reversible, but the point is, according to Shmuel, unless we heard he's dead, what are they doing setting up anything in the first place?
Right.
Maybe Tzori Atrasav, maybe Masiya Dachim Zenisayach. We're saying the Braita is if he himself comes and says, you know what, originally I did see Masiya Dachim Zenisayach. But we're saying that if Beis Din didn't know whether that was the case, then they can go ahead and start arranging the Zonis. Why? What if he did see Masiya Dachim Zenisayach? And again, the answer is, fine, this price could also be talking about that they had heard that he died. Again, the same thing that it turns out that it wasn't true. He comes back alive and says, yeah. Toshma, Misha Holoch Medinas Yam, the Ishta Tebas Mizonis. A person goes to Medinas Yam and his wife is claiming Mizonis. Based in Yodin and Chosav, and based in goes into his property. The Zonin and Mepharnesin the Ishta, they go and support and provide for his wife. Zonin means food, Mepharnesin means clothes. For his wife, Avaloy Bonov of Naisa, but not his children, which Mepharshim say his children means specifically if they're over six, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that theoretically over six, a person is not required to support his children. But under six, he has an absolute obligation, same as his wife. And actually, they also add that if we know that he's rich enough to support them above age six, then we will do that anyway, because then it's a matter of production. And not another matter, which was this.
What's going on with the man if you want to support the wife, the divorce, and they put all the property in different names?
What do you mean? If they're divorced, they're divorced. We're not talking about that. We're talking about they're still married over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we're going to explain soon in a few lines what that means. Anyway, the point is that here we clearly see it has to be talking about that we know he's still alive. Why? Because if we heard that he was dead already, we're assuming why would we not support his children? The same way as his wife is entitled to support out of the estate, his children also are. Eventually they're Yaushin, in fact, if it's confirmed that he's dead. So here we have to be talking about that we know all the time he's alive, and yet we're saying that we're posting his earnest. So that clearly contradicts Shmuel. The answer is Amr of Sheshes, but Mashret Ishta Ayde Shlish. We're talking about over here that he arranged for a shlish, for a third party, for an apotropos to provide mezonos. So what happened? He'd arranged that before he left, that there's going to be somebody else who's going to be managing his affairs and providing food for his wife. Now that apotropos says, you know what, I'm not interested anymore, I want to withdraw from that.
Where is he getting the resources?
He's getting from the husband's property. The husband gave this apotropos carte blanche. He told him, you're going to be the manager of my property while I'm away. You make sure every week that you have $100 available for her to go shopping. So now this apotropos withdraws from it. Now, he was appointed, but fine. You know, I have family obligations, I'm moving out of town, whatever. There could be any number of reasons, yeah. The point is, normally we would say, Shmuel was saying before, that there might be the concern Shlori Afasah, that he gave her a bag of money and made that available for her to spend. Here, obviously, he didn't, because he used an apotropos instead. Therefore, once the apotropos withdraws, then there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, he didn't give her Shlori. Therefore, necessarily, based enough to set things up, even though we know he's alive. Yeah. And also, for the same token, it can't be that he said, see Masiya Daikum Zonisayah, same thing, then once he's setting up an apotropos to provide her spending money every week. So obviously, neither of those considerations apply. Therefore, yes, you give him a Zonis in that case. Tosfos discusses differently. Tosfos discusses that this Mashra Shlish, we're not talking about that he arranged it, we're not talking about that he arranged it right before he left. We're talking about that all this time, we learned earlier in the Masechta that sometimes people, we learned over Pesach, that sometimes people would have an arrangement where the husband and wife live separately, and he arranges for a shlish, for an apotropos, to provide her weekly spending money, and we said he has to eat with her and be with her every Friday night, etc. There's different rules over there, but it could be that the rest of the time they're living apart and each running their own household.
Why would Tosfos say that?
Because the point is, because we're going to point out that the difference is that his wife he's providing for through the shlish, but the children not. Now, the logic is, if he arranged it right before he left, why would he distinguish between the wife and the children? But if he arranged it all the time, then yes.
So what in case
that
they live separately, what
would
the children
get? So that's what we're saying. Wait. Well, if the wife is being supported by through the shlish, aren't the children also? Why would there be a difference? The answer is, we're talking about he arranged an apotropos for the wife, but not for the children. So according to Rashi, it means before he left, he arranged for the apotropos to give spending money to his wife, but he didn't arrange anything in particular for his children.
After six,
that's what we're talking about, yeah. According to Tosfos' explanation, it would be that while he was still in town, he and his wife were living in separate households. But the children were living with him, let's say. So therefore, she was being supported through a shlish, the children were not. Question is, my Posko, what's the blanket statement like that? The Braise is saying as a blanket statement that you give Parnosa to the wife, but not... So it's in the bottom of Nisa. We're living with him. Right, but that's the point. He left town without making arrangements. Yeah, according to Nisa. He's living with them, but now he left town. He's in Medina Sayyah. He didn't arrange before he left. So, if the children live separate, could also be. Yeah. So he and his wife live separately, but the children were not. The children were living with him. So my postulate, the question is, what's the definitive statement like that? The Braisa is saying you give panosa to the wife, not to the children, and we're explaining because the case is that the wife is being provided through a shlish and the children are not. Why is that the most common situation? Why should we assume that's the situation?
Why did she only do support also? That's the question.
Ella Amar Papa. No. Kishashala Baisha met the aid echadi. The case we're talking about over here is that we heard through one aid that he died. The Iba is in Subi. So now if she wanted to get rebounded, it means to get married. One aid would be enough. We learned at the end of Yuvamis that one aid is good enough evidence for a woman to get married. Because instead they each died for women, so she'll be very careful knowing all the penalties that she'll have to undergo, she and her children and whatever will have to undergo. If it turns out that her husband is still alive, she'll be very careful to only to remarry only if she's thoroughly checked out the situation.
Since she's dying.
Yeah. So therefore, so the aid echad matzi mitzvah. So with one aid alone is enough to allow her to remarry. Therefore, mizorni nami yavinimba. So forget about the shlish or not shlish. No, the logic is for her one aid is enough because we see just like one aid is enough for her to get remarried, then one aid is also enough for her to be entitled to mizornis if she's not remarried.
And what's the shlish?
Then forget the shlish. We're saying the shlish was an answer that we rejected. Now we're giving a new answer. The reason for the difference, the reason for the Braisa's distinction between the wife who's entitled to mizornis and the children who are not, is because the wife has an advantage over the children. She can be married on the basis of one aid. So therefore, if she chooses not to be married on the basis of that one aid, then we consider her an almana, and almana is entitled to mizornis out of the estate, and therefore she's entitled without anything further. Whereas when it comes to the children, who, if they wanted to go and inherit his property and start managing it on the basis of one aid, they're not allowed to. We wouldn't allow them to do that unless two aidim came that he's dead. Therefore, we don't supply them mizonis either. Based in it's not going to go specifically to sell property or whatever to get mizonis for them. Yeah. Okay, so that explains it.
What's remaining with him? I mean, she doesn't have to donate, and they don't have money. What are they going to do?
So if they can support themselves, good. And if not, then they're supported out of tzedakah.
Here's the point. A lot of people have.
Yeah.
It's community.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of
okay. Again, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, that Mefarshim point out that if the guy is Omid, if we know that he has enough money to be able to support these children even above age 6, then we do that anyway. We do go to the and based in will go to the Nechasim and take out money for their support. Yeah. Okay. My Davaracha, we said before that we support his wife, but not his children, and not Davaracha. What's the Davaracha? Rav Chista Amar Tachshit. Rav Chista says it means we don't provide money for cosmetics for her. Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah, cosmetics, perfumes, whatever. Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah. Rav Yosef says it means we don't assess Tzedakah on him. Manda Amar Tachshit. The Rav Chista who says that means that we don't assess his property and take out money for Tachshitim, Tzolshik, and Tzedakah. Then how much more so we don't take out Tzedakah? Because the kol shekin is because we have every right to assume that where he is in the din of Siyam is giving tzedakah over there.
Why?
No, not tzedakah for his wife. Tzedakah when we're collecting. So when the gabbai tzedakah are going around to the city, we need to raise money for the aniyim. Everybody has to give $5.
Right.
We don't take out of his property money for that. Because we assume that he's giving where he is. Yeah. Manda Omer Tzedakah, where the other way around, Rabbi Yosef, who said that the Davaracha of the Braisa is Tzedakah, he says, I will tach shit yabin Allah. He says, however, we would give her money for cosmetics, even while her husband is away. Because after all, the husband doesn't want that she's going to be unattractive, and she's going to be repulsive without having perfumes, etc., you know.
Well, but he's overseas.
He's overseas, but still. No, but he still doesn't want that. He still doesn't want that. That she's all that time. She's not going to be able to have money to cut her hair, to get rid of body odor, etc. You know. Yeah. Okay. So we still don't have a proof yet. We still don't have a proof yet in against Shmuel. So far, all the Mishnah and all the Braises recording are understandable, very straightforwardly according to Rav, that we say that when the husband is overseas and based in Poskim Lamazonis, they arrange Mazonis for her right off the bat. But Shmuel's logic that we said that either we're concerned about that he may have given her tsurari or that he may have done simasi adayakim zedesayach. So we had all the cases we said so far have to either be that we heard that he died, or that we have that the or in this last case we didn't hear that he died, but there's a logical reason to, or we did. We heard one, we not up until now we were assuming he heard we heard from two aidim a rumor that he died. Now we're saying we heard from one aid that he died.
That's so.
So therefore, not conclusive yet the case where we haven't heard at all that he died, where as far as nothing has come to tell us that he died, as far as we know, he's still alive, that we should be giving the Zionists.
He's suing
him. According to this last thing, we're saying one aid is enough for her to now be able to get the Zionists. Because one aid is enough for her to be married, therefore it's enough for the Zionists.
She needs one aid.
Yeah.
But to prove that he died...
To prove that he died, you need two aid, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. Tashma... Hayivama during the first 3 months after her husband died, which during that time she can't do Yibum or Chalitza, because as we learned in Yivama, you have to wait in order to make sure that any child that she has will know whether it's from her first husband, or actually in the case of Yibum, it's something else. If she's pregnant, you can't do, if she has a baby, you can't do Yibum with her anyway, it would be an Erva. And if it's Chalitza, we learned over there a whole story over there, Homocholikus, Rebiyakan, and Shlokish, whether the Chalitza is even valid when she's pregnant. Whatever it takes 3 months to know whether she's pregnant. So if he didn't leave property, well then what's to talk about? I mean then Basin doesn't have any property to collect from. So then okay, we have to support her out of
tzedakah.
So either she'll have to support herself with her she'll have to earn money, or she'll have to collect from tzedakah. What can you do? If he didn't leave nechassim, what are you supposed to do? Come on, no. Whatever. Tashma, hayivama gimel chadashim arashayim. During the first 3 months, she can't do yibum and can't do chalitza. So therefore, it's kind of she's a yivama. She's an almana, so to speak. It's her husband's fault that she's stuck in this situation. Therefore, nizonis b'shal baila. Therefore, she gets supported out of her husband's estate. Mikan ve'elach. After that, if she doesn't do yibum or chalitza, ain't a nizonis. Lo b'shal baila. Lo b'shal yavam. She doesn't. She's not entitled to support out of her first husband's estate, or out of the Yavam's estate. The husband, because at this point she's not an almana, because she's tied to her husband anymore. She's not doing Yibum or Chalitza. Maybe his fault, maybe her fault, but we're not getting into that. Whatever. The point is the fact that she's still an almana is not directly related to her husband and the Yavam, because he hasn't done Yibum yet. Amar Bedinu Barach, what happens if the Yavam goes to Beis Din and they tell him, look, you know, you gotta do Yibum or you gotta do Chalitza, don't just leave her hanging. Or Barach, and then he ran away. Then his own is Mishal Yavam. Then he's entitled to be support. Then she's entitled to be supported from the Yavam's property. Because he was told that he has to do either Yibum or Chalitza, and he ran away. And to evade it. The husband is dead. The Yavam.
The husband is dead.
The husband is dead. The Yavam. The husband runs away after he's told. If he ran away before he was told he has to do Yibum or Chalitza, fine, he's gone. But if he runs away after that, then already he's chayav. The point is that we're saying that she's entitled to property out of the she's entitled to support out of the Yavam's property. So you see, even though there might be the Mechora shouldn't have the same concern of Tzurari or Ma'atiyadayach or whatever, and yet you don't say that.
Yeah.
So Shmuel can answer you. Because in that case, there's nothing to be concerned of. If you're talking about it's a matter of that he might have given her a bundle of money, no, he won't have. He's not yet that close with her that he would have been, that this Yavam, before he ran away from town, would have made sure to give her a bundle of money. And if it's the deal that he would have said, you keep your Maisi Yada and you make your own resonance. She doesn't yet have a shibud to him until they actually do yibum. There's no shibud. Therefore, neither of those considerations, Rav Zvid's or Papa's consideration applies. Therefore, we should not assume. Therefore, yes, we can assume that mazonis are given out of his property right away. We continue tomorrow. That's the shem.